Amen. All right, our reading will begin in verse number 30 of chapter 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads in verse, starting at verse number 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, God does great work. Neighbor, God does great work. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Great Work. We just added the emphasis, God does great work. Can I just talk to you? When we look at this scripture, there's two words that I want us to look at. The two words I want us to look at is great and work. Before we go anywhere else, before we do anything else. Because when you look at the word great and how it's defined, it is identified, the word great is an adjective for the sole purpose of bringing emphasis to the word that follows. And when you talk about great, and there's many definitions for it, but the one definition I see in this scenario that fits is when we talk about great, we're talking about the power. And then when you look at the word work is defined by the effort it takes to complete something, or the effort put in to complete something. So if you were to put it together, the power of God has put in the effort to complete tasks in our lives. The struggle that I see sometimes when I look at us in church is that sometimes we have forgotten the great work God has done for us. As African Americans here, we did not ask to come here. We were brought here in the bottom of ships, where a third, almost a third to two-thirds of their cargo, which we were, would die during the Middle Passage. So, and then some, when given the opportunity, to, they would bring them up to the deck every once in a blue moon to let them get some fresh air. Some would see that as an opportunity and would jump off the ship, because I would rather die than to go and be a slave. So when we talk about great work, what we have to know about ourselves is that we are the children of those that didn't die, that didn't jump off the ship. We are the ones who ancestors made it through without dying, scurvy and all these other diseases that they caught, and the various things that they had to deal with. And even when some got here and saw the condition, they fought until they were killed. So we, again, are the ones who are here because our ancestors said, no matter what, I will not give up. Now, I'm not saying that others gave up, but that's who we are. But when I look at this scripture, we see something here. We know the story. It's the story of about God parting the Red Sea. But it gets bigger than that, because when you go back prior to that, you go back to Exodus chapter 1 and 2, when it talks about how Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children because their numbers were growing too fast. And we see that Moses' mother looked at him when he was born and saw he was a pretty boy, gorgeous in her eyes, and she hid him for 3 months. So that it got to the point she couldn't hold him back no more. So they released him in the water. God did a great work. God put him in the hands of the enemy that raised them like their own. And then we see he came of age and eventually had to leave because he killed one of the Egyptians, which also lets us know that brother wasn't perfect. Brother Botts, I get concerned when folk look at us as Christians and expect us to be flawless, expect us to be without fault, expect us to be perfect in all that we do. It's not possible. We create situations for ourselves that are unattainable. And then we get frustrated when we fall short. And then it's one thing when we do that to us, but it's another thing, Deacon Elwood, when folk do that to us from a distance. They expect us to be all that they are not. And when we fall short of their expectations, they immediately label us and say, you know, you wasn't no count anyway. Nothing but old jackleg preacher, Rem Road. You see, so Moses wasn't perfect. But then he made it to the area of Midian. And he worked for Jethro. Ended up marrying one of Jethro's daughters. And one day, while he's thinking this is going to be his life from this point on, he takes the herd to the mount. And while he's up there with the herd in the mount, he sees off in the distance to the side, he sees a bush burning, but not burning up. Or a bush burning, but not consumed. So when he saw that, God was showing Moses his great work. Because God was taking a bush, allowing the flame to be all around it and attached to it, but never burn it. Moses now became inquisitive, wants to get a closer look of this bush. So he investigates, and as he gets closer, the angel of the Lord speaks to him. Let him know he's on holy ground. Take them shoes off your feet. And then he tells him, you're going to go back to Egypt, and I'm going to use you to set my people free. But Moses said, wait. Bruh, I think you're a little off on this one. I ain't the one you want to use. Because I can't speak well. Gave him all kinds of excuses. But I want you to understand the persistence of God. That when God has chosen you for a task, he's chosen you for the task. No matter how you try to excuse your way out of it, God says it's going to be you. I want you to know, I don't care what you do, it's not going to be nobody else but you. You can go and read it in Exodus 3 and 4. Finally, Moses gives in. God said, all right, well, Aaron going to speak for you, bro. He's going to speak to the people, but you ain't getting out. Let's go. And then God uses him in a mighty fashion in Egypt. God sends 10 plagues to Egypt. Now, you have to understand, Israel was in Egypt. When God sends all these plagues, everything is happening around the people of Israel. But the people of Israel are never impacted by any of the plagues. So what is that saying? God was in the midst of doing great work. That while they were there, in the midst of all that was going on around them, God was still blessing Israel. Even in our lives, with all that's going on around us, God is still blessing us. And with all of this going on, finally, Pharaoh gives in, throws his hands up. Moses, get them folk up out here now. You know, whenever you pack in a hurry, Deacon Rosa, you always forget something because you're in a hurry. When the people of Israel left in a hurry, they forgot the yeast for the bread. That's why now during the Passover, they don't have bread with yeast in it because they forgot it the first time. And they said, so from now on, by us eating the bread without the yeast, it will be a reminder to us about how we had to flee out of Egypt real quick and in a hurry. And when they left real quick and in a hurry, they couldn't pack their suitcases. Sister girls, they couldn't take all them shoes they wanted. Lord, they couldn't take all the dresses, all their makeup, their jewelry, because they had to pack up and leave. So now they are in the wilderness. God's leading them by a cloud by day and a ball of flame at night. But then they find themselves on the shore of the Red Sea, figuring, where do we go from here? We've reached what some folk might feel, Deacon Jones, is a dead end. Because we ain't got any boats. We can't swim. You see, because when you're slaves, it ain't like you get some recreational time. You know, Brother Holmes, to go out there and tread some water. But what happens? Pharaoh wakes up, thinks about what he has done. He let his slaves go. Now he's angry, and it hits him. So he gathers up all his army. They get on their chariots, and they get in hot pursuit of the Israelites. The Israelites see them from a distance. And they look to Moses and say, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here so that we can die out here by the Red Sea? The people that quickly had already forgotten about God's great work. It's amazing how when things don't go the way we want them to go, we forget about God's great work. It's interesting that when things are going well, we want to shout hallelujah. But Sister Penn, it seemed like when somebody pulled the rug from underneath our feet, we forget about shouting praises and begin to complain and blame God for where we are. So they blame Moses. But in all actuality, they were blaming God for bringing them out to a dead end. They can't cross over. They are ill-equipped to fight against the Egyptians. But they had already forgotten they were ill-equipped of freeing themselves, that God is the one that freed them. Yes. But all they can do is focus on the current situation. The current situation was an obstacle, but they looked at the obstacle rather than praising God and saying that you're going to create an opportunity. I want us as a people of God to always realize and recognize that there will always be an obstacle, but you got to praise God for how he's going to create an opportunity. It don't matter how you try to block my blessing. It don't matter to how you try to hinder me. It don't matter how you try to get in my way. I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow, because my God will always create an opportunity. I don't care how you try to get in my way. I'm going to thank God, because an opportunity is already on the way. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, here it comes. When you are faced with obstacles, there's two things you can do. One is sit there and have a pity party. The other is look to the one who's going to see you through and say, Lord, I've come this far by faith. Lord, I've been leaning on you. Lord, I've been trusting in you. Lord, I realize left on my own, I wouldn't have come this far. But you are the one who brought me this far. And I don't believe you brought me this far to what? Me. So what happens is this. God, who was the one that led them to this point. When Pharaoh saw Israel, he probably started smiling and said, we're going to kill a good amount of them and we're going to take the rest back to be our slaves. But God, who led them by a cloud by day and a ball of flame at night. God, who was in front of them, now went behind them, put up a wall that when the Egyptians looked, it was a wall of darkness. It caused them to stand still. But the other side was a light for the Israelites to continue to go forward. So when you get a chance, go back and read chapter 14. Because what we see in it is that God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Go forward. Step into the water. Stretch your arms wide. Pray to me. And let me be who I am. And that's God or by myself. Now, what appears to be mission impossible? When you add God to anything, God will work it out. You see, Brother Roscoe, some folk will think that once you've gotten to a dead end, they think it is a dead end. But I want you to know, whenever God comes into the midst, whatever appears to be dead, God can bring life to it. God can change a situation. I don't care how bleak it is. God can take anything and turn it around. Because as Moses spoke, all of a sudden the wind came. The wind came and it blew, made the Red Sea base, bottom, dry, and pushed up the water to make walls on both sides. And once that happened, I want you to know, the people of Israel walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. So what appeared to be the end, God says this is a new beginning. So I want you to understand today, you might be dealing with some stuff. You might be going through some stuff. You got to tell your stuff, this ain't the end. It's God, it's an opportunity for God to create a new beginning. Because my God is an awesome God. And my God does great work. And I want you to know, as they, if I could just use my spiritual imagination, as they came walking on that dry ground, they are amazed. Probably can't say nothing. Jaws are dropping as they're walking. They're looking back in the army of the Egyptian army ain't messing with them. But they walking on dry ground. They look to the left, water. Look to the right, water. But where they are walking at, it is dry ground. You see, so what is that telling me? I don't care wherever you find yourself as a child of God, the Lord will make a way out of no way. What others might see is chaos all around you, and it might be chaos all around you. But the Lord is allowing a space for you to pass on through all the craziness all around you. And as they made it to the other side, I could see the stragglers. Because, you know, some folk was jaws dropping and like, I wonder if it's going to hold. You go ahead. I'm going to wait a minute. Go ahead. I'm going to wait a minute. Because I think I can swim a little bit, but you go ahead. And as they kept looking, and they saw everybody was making it to the other side, you know what they said? Here I come. And they started walking. And once they were almost at the shore on the other side, God dropped down the wall of darkness, moved out the way. The Egyptian army said, if they made it over, we're going to follow in their steps. And Pharaoh said, y'all get them and kill them. And we'll bring some of them back for our slaves. So I can see them on their chariots, looking around. Water on their right, water on the left. Ground is dry for them too. So yeah, I'm going to get them real quick. But I want you to know, about halfway through, after the last Israelite stepped up off that Red Sea and made it to the other side, God took his hands that was holding back the water, moved his hands out the way, and the water consumed the Egyptian army. And I want you to know, as it consumed them, they died right there. And when the Israelites looked back at the seashore, they saw nothing but dead bodies washing up behind them. What does that tell me? That when the Lord brings you through a situation, there's some stuff that came up that was trying to kill you. But the Lord killed it before it got to you. So when you look back, you're able to praise God because that which was trying to take you out, God took it out for you. Now hold on. If you are a child of God, you've been through a Red Sea experience. You know how we went through our Red Sea experience? I'm glad you asked. You see, because Jesus, who was Emmanuel, the Son of God, came down through 42 generations, lived here on this earth for the sole purpose of redeeming us, buying us back, because all of us had reached a dead end. Sin was kicking our butt. Sin was ready to take us out. But Jesus came. And when they nailed Jesus to the cross, they thought they were putting him in a situation where they were killing him. But what they didn't realize is this, that when they were nailing Jesus to the cross, they were nailing the sin of the world, CJ, to the cross. The sin that was trying to take us out was being killed on the cross. They thought they had Jesus, but Jesus really had them. Oh, somebody go work with me. So when they were on, Jesus was on this cross, and they nailed him on it, and they lifted the cross up. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men, women, and children to myself. You see, because I didn't go to this cross for myself. I went to the cross for the whole world. So when the world looks up, the world will be saved. So when they put him on the cross and they heard him say, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Once he did that, he took his last breath, his head dropped. Don't you know the devil and his demons were high-fiving one another? The Father sent his Son and thought he was going to do something against us. But we done tagged him. We done bagged him. Now wrap him up. Put him in the tomb. It's all over but the shout. So I want you to know, they took Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body because he wanted to put him in his tomb, because he figured that's where Jesus was going to be at. But Jesus didn't buy the tomb. All he needed was a lease for a few days. So they wrapped his body, put him in the tomb, rolled the stone in front of him. He stayed there all night Friday. So the devil and his demons was getting it on, y'all. We got him. Yeah, God. We got him. Had their dance going on. Saturday morning. He's still there. Wasn't that a good thing we did, y'all? The devil and his crew. All day Saturday. All night Saturday. They were still partying. We got them. But early on Sunday morning, he got up. But before he got up, he went down and he crashed the party that they were holding in hell. He snatched the keys and said, "Everybody up in here that believed in me, it's time to go. Jesus is the best party crasher that ever lived." And he crashed the party down in hell, brought up all out of hell who didn't need to be there. And then he stepped back here on this earth to let us know all power is in his hand. You see, God has done great work for us. You see, because when we were at our dead end, I want you to know, sin had us in a headlock, was getting ready to take our breath away. But sin smacked us a few times, kicked us a few times, and said, you know what? Do you have anything else to say? Because I'm about to take you up out of here. And then we said, yes, Lord, save me. Forgive me for my sin. Help me right now. I believe you have the power to heal, deliver, and Lord, set me free. And once the enemy gave us that last chance, don't you know the Lord came in, Nicole? Smacked the enemy upside the head. You better let go of my child. You don't have them anymore. They are now in my hand. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. You see, you thought you had me. I crashed your party. And now I'm going to break up everything you're doing here on earth. Because God has done great work for us. And that's how come whenever we come to church as the people of God, we ain't going to act like God ain't done nothing for us. We're going to thank him and praise him for all he's done, all he's brought us through, because we are still here. We thought we were at a dead end, but the Lord showed us another way. Do I got a witness in God's house? God has done great work. Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him, because he is a mighty good God. Woo! Y'all, I get excited when I think about all the Lord has done for me. When I look back at the seashore of my past, there was some stuff that thought it was going to kill me. But God killed it, Sister Rose. And we are still here. So I just want every child of God, go on and look over your shoulder. Look back at the stuff that tried to kill you. It's now dead. And you mean to tell me we ain't got nothing to praise? Oh. We ain't got nothing to praise God for. We got a lot to praise God for. We are still alive. Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. Because God has done great work.